Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. This week, we spoke with Alan Rose, a former Miss USA and Miss America contestant, who was also the first woman with a mastectomy to be featured by Sports Illustrated. After losing her mother, grandmother, and great aunt to breast cancer, Alan made headlines with her controversial decision to undergo a prophylactic double mastectomy at the age of 24. We spoke with Alan about her family history with cancer and her advocacy work with the AIRS Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to financially helping women who have had a mastectomy to pay for their breast reconstruction who could not otherwise afford it.
So to start, can you just tell us a little bit about your family history with cancer?
Sure. My mother was diagnosed with an invasive stage 3 breast cancer at the age of 27. And 20 years later, it returned in the other breast and unfortunately took her life. And I found out after losing my mother that it wasn't just my mother. It was my grandmother. It was my great aunt. All these women in my family had lost their lives to breast cancer and at a very young age. And after talking to my father and a lot of other members of my family, I realized that this was something that I needed to be incredibly proactive about and vigilant. And so when I was 26, I underwent a prophylactic double mastectomy, removing both of my breasts as a preventive measure.
Okay. And so had anyone in your family undergone genetic testing before?
Yes. So my mother had undergone genetic testing after her second bout with breast cancer, and she was BRCA mutation 1 and 2 negative. And I decided to get tested anyway, just to see if perhaps it was on my father's side, because there was breast cancer on his side as well. And we are all negative. But due to the family history and how young all of the women in my family were diagnosed, I still decided that it was the right decision for me to move forward with the preventive surgery.
Definitely. And so, you know, you're 24, and that's a very big decision to make at 24. What kind of went into your decision-making process and maybe how you talked with your physicians on finally undergoing the prophylactic double mastectomy?
Yeah, it was certainly a difficult decision to make, I think, at any age, but to do it when you're in your 20s, I think, is a different sort of animal. But I really had great support from my friends and my family. When I was 18, I sat down with my father and discussed, you know, the loss of my mom and what were the next steps that I could take. And he was very adamant about me having a prophylactic surgery. And so as an 18-year-old, you think, you're crazy. I'm just developing into the body that I have now. Why would I have a surgery to remove my breasts? But he really sat me down and he said, look, I don't want you to be dead like your mom. And I think he had to be that persuasive with me, that aggressive, to really get it through my head that this was something that was important and not something I could sit around and wait about. So I think having the support of someone who was motivating me and pushing me to do it and there to kind of help take care of me during recovery was a really, really nice situation to be in, because I know there are a lot of women out there who don't have family support, don't have friend support, and to do it with a great team behind you, I think, makes the process a little bit better.
Absolutely. And so it sounds like your dad had a pretty big influence, especially when it came to just talking about your family history. We talk about that a lot here at Cure. Do you have any recommendations, kind of follow your experience, on how individuals who think maybe they do have risk for cancer, or if they think maybe they have a hereditary risk, like how they can start those conversations with their families?
Sure. I mean, I think the number one thing is being your own advocate, because at the end of the day, it's your body, it's your choice. But I do think that being able to talk to your family is important. So having that family history and being able to approach them from a perspective of, say, this is something that affects me from a genetic standpoint and also maybe affects you from a genetic standpoint. So as long as everyone is on the same page and you're able to discuss this with family, I think that's a good way to go about it, is coming and saying from a place of, hey, if this is, like I said, if this is affecting me, this could potentially affect you. But I have heard from people that they've faced a little pushback from family members, and that's always really disheartening to hear. Family members maybe not agreeing with the decision that they were making or thinking it's a little bit too preemptive. So I think patients need to realize that it's their choice, and whether they have support from friends and family is a little bit irrelevant, but it is nice to make sure that you're including them, because I think you'd be surprised at how supportive family can be.
Definitely. And so with that, how are you now utilizing your platform to help raise awareness?
So I went through this from a very public perspective, I think. I went public with the decision to have the surgery when I was 24 as a Miss America contestant. And the story went pretty viral. I mean, it was 30 countries, 300 million homes. And to be able to talk about that so publicly was a really rewarding process for me. It's challenging to put yourself out there and to discuss such a personal decision. But I knew that if I had a platform to really speak to my generation about being their own advocates, that was something that I wanted to do. And then after my surgery, it took, I think, a little bit of a hiatus from social media and things like that to really focus on my recovery. But now that I'm a few years out, I've had this really renewed sense of wanting to share my story and to be a resource for women. So this fall, I'm actually launching a website, which is essentially, I would call it the mastectomy encyclopedia, where women have the opportunity to go and access information about mastectomy, reconstruction, doctor referrals, products that they may need. And so to be able to have something like that, to talk on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, the whole deal has been wonderful. And to have women reach out to me and say, I don't know where to start, I don't know where to go, and to be able to give them that information so that it makes the process a little bit easier has been incredibly rewarding.
That's great. And so I also saw on your social media that you utilize the hashtag self-examgram. Can you explain maybe what that is and what you're hoping women take away from it?
Absolutely. I was really racking my brain the last year with how I could create a little bit of a movement that encouraged people to be proactive in their healthcare, and not just people who are considering having a prophylactic surgery, but just women in general. And doing self-breast exams are so important. So I created the hashtag self-examgram for Instagram in particular to just be a reminder for young people and really people of any age to perform a self-breast exam, and that includes men. So I have men reach out to me all the time and say, is this something that I can do? Can men be diagnosed with breast cancer? And to be able to give them that information that, yes, it is a possibility and they should be checking too to know they're normal. And self-examgram was really created to remind people to have those surgeries and then also to encourage them to share with their friends. And I always say, you know, you could save a life, your friends or your own. And I think that's so true. And I had one woman reach out to me after I had started the hashtag, and she said, hey, I was reminded to go get a mammogram by your hashtag, and I just discovered I have a low-stage breast cancer, and you might have just saved my life. And hearing something like that, I know it's not about me, but to have this be so far-reaching and impact other people has been incredible.
Wow, that's great. And so you're also working with the Alliance in Reconstructive Surgery. Can you just explain your involvement with that organization?
Yes, so the Ears Foundation is an incredible organization that provides funds for women who are undergoing breast reconstruction. And when they had first approached me, I thought, well, this doesn't make much sense to me, because I assumed there was a federal mandate that required that women have reconstruction after mastectomy. And yes, there is, but I didn't think about it from another angle, in the sense that what if women can't afford their co-pays? What if they don't have insurance? There's so many scenarios where women are denied access to their reconstruction. And then even if they are granted access to reconstruction, they're given one option. I spoke on a panel for them last March, and it brought me to tears hearing a woman share her story where she said, okay, well, my insurance company offered me a surgeon for my breast reconstruction, but the surgeon specialized in cleft palates, and breast reconstruction wasn't even on his radar. So insurance companies are just giving women any surgeon to perform this surgery. And this is so personal and so invasive for a woman to go through a breast surgery, whether it's a prophylactic surgery, whether it's after a cancer diagnosis. And women deserve to have access to the best care, to specialists, and the Earth Foundation is providing them that.
Great. And so with all of your advocacy work, what would you say is the number one thing that you're hoping that men and women can take away from your message and your movement?
The number one thing is to be their own advocate. And at the end of the day, we are our best cheerleaders. We know our bodies better than anyone else. And being able to go speak to a physician and be armed with information is the most important thing for me. We tend to take what our physicians say as gospel truth, and so few people go and get a second opinion, do excess research, and they just assume that their doctor is giving them information that's the best for them, and that's unfortunately not always the case. Particularly with breast surgery, surgeons tend to recommend procedures that they specialize in, which may not be the best for a woman's body, for her anatomy. So that has been my number one thing, to arm women with information and to say, you can go into your doctor's office. It's okay to say no. It's okay to ask for a different procedure, for a different technique, for a different product. And to provide them with that, I think, takes away a lot of the fear of the unknown, which is the hardest part of the whole process.
Absolutely. And so one last question. So looking back on your experience, is there anything that you think, you know, you would tell your 24-year-old self when it came to your family history and your decision to undergo the surgery and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think that I would reiterate the idea that your vanity is not important. I think doing this surgery when you're in your 20s, there's so much pressure on young women to be beautiful and to have these perfect bodies, particularly now with social media. And so I never considered myself somebody that cared so much about the way that I looked. And I know that sounds silly coming from somebody who worked in the beauty industry, but I didn't think my breasts were that important to me. Until I had this surgery, until I was forced to look at myself in the mirror every day and see a new body and see my body changing even after reconstruction, and it was a very emotionally challenging time to get used to what my new normal was going to be. So I think that I would encourage a young me to be patient, to realize that I've had this surgery to prolong my life, for my future children someday, for my husband, for myself, for my friends, my family. And that's the most important thing. And it doesn't matter what I look like, I want to be around for the next 60 years.
Perfect. And is there anything that we haven't touched upon that you think our audience should know more about?
I think that's it. I mean, really, it's knowing your family history, coming in as your own advocate. And the more you know, the more empowered you are in your healthcare decisions. And having the opportunity to know your family history is a real gift. And some people don't know that. But if you can dig, it's really the best way to arm yourself moving forward.
For more information, visit ayersfoundation.org. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.